Beside him, Sally Ann stood upright, gripping her own hands at waist level to prevent them trembling. Her face had a sick greenish hue, under a light sheen of sweat, and she kept turning her eyes towards the fireplace where the puppy's crushed carcass lay like a discarded toy. At last Peter Fungerbearer pushed the papers aside and rocked back in his chair, tapping lightly on the tabletop with his swagger stick. "A hanging matter," he said. "A capital offence for both you and Miss J." "It has nothing to do with her." Craig put a protective arm around her shoulders. "Woman's lower organs are less able to withstand the downward shock of the hangman's drop," Peter Fungerbearer remarked. "The effect can be quite bizarre, or at least so I am told." It conjured up an image that sickened Craig. Saliva of nausea flooded his mouth. He swallowed it down and could not speak. "Fortunately, it need not come to that. The choice will be yours." Peter rolled the swagger stick lightly between his fingers. Craig found himself staring fixedly at Peter's hands. The palms and insides of his long, powerful fingers were a soft, delicate pink. "I believe that you are the dupes of your imperialistic capitalist masters," Peter smiled again. "I am going to let you go." Both their heads jerked up, and they watched his face. "Yes, you look disbelieving, but I mean it. Personally, I have grown quite fond of both of you. To have you hanged would give me no special pleasure. Both of you possess artistic talents which it would be wasteful to terminate, and from now on you will be unable to do any further harm." Still they were silent, beginning to hope, and yet fearful, sensing that it was all part of a cruel cat's game. "I am prepared to make you an offer. If you make a clean breast of it, a full and unreserved confession, I will have you escorted to the border, with your travel documents and any readily portable possessions and items of value you choose. I will have you set free, to go and trouble me and my people no more." He waited, smiling, and the swagger stick went tap, tap, tap on the tabletop, like a dripping faucet. It distracted Craig. He found himself unable to think clearly. It had all happened so quickly. Peter Fungerbearer had kept him off balance, shifting and changing his attack. He had to have time to pull himself together and to begin thinking clearly and logically again. "A confession?" he blurted. "What kind of confession? One of your exhibitions, before a people's court, a public humiliation?" "No, I don't think we need to go that far," Peter Fungerbearer assured him. "I will need only a written statement from you, an account of your crimes and the machinations of your masters. The confession will be properly witnessed, and then you will be escorted to the border and set at liberty. All very straightforward and simple, and if I may be allowed to say so, very civilized and humane." "You will, of course, prepare my confession for me to sign?" Craig asked bitterly, and Peter Fungerbearer chuckled. "How very perceptive of you." He selected one of the documents from the pile in front of him. "Here it is. You need only fill in the date and sign it." Even Craig was surprised at that. "You've had it typed already?" Nobody replied, and Captain and Bebe brought the document to him. "Please read it, Mr. Mello," he invited. There were three typewritten foolscap sheets, much of them filled with denunciations of his imperialistic masters and the hysterical cant of the extreme left. But in this mishmash, like plums in a stodgy pudding, were the hard facts of which Craig stood accused. He read through it slowly, trying to force his numbed brain to function clearly. But it was all somehow dreamlike and unreal, seeming not really to affect him personally, until he read the words that jerked him fully conscious again. The words were so familiar, so well remembered, and they burned like concentrated acid into the core of his being. "I fully admit that by my actions I have proved myself to be an enemy of the state and the people of Zimbabwe." It was the exact wording used in another document he had signed, and suddenly he was able to see the design behind it all. "King's Lynn," he whispered, and he looked up from the typewritten confession at Peter Fungerbearer. "That's what it's all about. You are after King's Lynn." There was silence, except for the tap of the swagger stick on the tabletop. Peter Fungerbearer did not miss a beat with it, and he was still smiling. You had it worked out from the very beginning. The surety for my loan. You wrote in that clause. The numbness and lethargy sloughed away, and Craig felt his anger rising again within him. He threw the confession on the floor. Captain and Bebe retrieved it, and stood with it held awkwardly in both hands. Craig found himself shaking with rage. He took a step forward towards the elegant figure seated before him, his hands reaching out involuntarily. But the tall Shona sergeant barred his way with the barrel of his rifle held across Craig's chest. "You bloody swine!" Craig hissed at Peter. There was a little white froth of saliva on his lower lip. "I want the police. I want the protection of the law." "Mr. Mello," Peter Fungabera replied evenly, "in Matabele land, I am the law. It is my protection that you are being offered." "I won't do it. I won't sign that piece of dung. I'll go to hell first." "That might be arranged," Peter Fungabera mused softly. And then persuasively, "I really do urge you to put aside these histrionics and bow to the inevitable. Sign the paper and we can dispense with any further nastiness." Crude words crowded on Craig's lips, and with an effort he resisted using them, not wanting to degrade himself in front of them. "No," he said instead. "I'll never sign that thing. You'll have to kill me first."
"I give you one last chance to change your mind." "No, never."
Peter Fungabera swiveled in his chair towards the tall sergeant. "I give you the woman," he said. "You first and then your men. One at a time until they have all had their turn. Here, in this room, on this table." "Christ, you aren't human," Craig blurted, and tried to hold Sally Ann. But the troopers seized him from behind and hurled him back against the wall. One of them pinned him there with the point of a bayonet against his throat. The other twisted Sally Ann's wrist up behind her shoulder blades and held her in front of the sergeant. She began to struggle wildly. But the trooper lifted her until just the toes of her running shoes touched the stone-flagged floor, and her face contorted with pain. The sergeant was expressionless, neither leering nor making any obscene gesture. He took the front of Sally Ann's T-shirt in both hands and tore it open from neck to waist. Her breasts swung out. They were very white and tender-looking. Their pink tips seemed sensitive and vulnerable.
"I have 150 men," Peter Fungabera remarked. "It will be some time before they have all finished."
The sergeant hooked his thumbs into the waistband of her shorts and yanked them down. He let them fall in a tangle around her ankles. Craig strained forward, but the point of the bayonet pierced the skin at his throat. A few drops of blood dribbled down his shirt front. Sally Ann tried to cover the dark triangle mound of her pudenda with her free hand. It was a pathetically ineffectual gesture.
"I know how fiercely even a so-called white liberal like you resents the thought of black flesh penetrating his woman."
Peter Fungabera's tone was almost conversational. "It will be interesting to see just how many times you will allow it to happen." The sergeant and the trooper lifted Sally Ann between them and laid her on her back on the refectory table. The sergeant freed the silk shorts that bound her ankles, but left the running shoes on her feet, and the tatters of her shirt around her upper body. Expertly, they pulled her knees up against her chest and then forced them down, tucking them under her armpits. They must have done this often before. She was helpless, doubled over, wide open and completely defenseless. Every man in the room was staring into her body's secret depths. The sergeant began to unbuckle his webbing belt with his free hand.
"Craig!"
Sally Ann screamed. And Craig's body bucked involuntarily, as though to the stroke of a whip. "I'll sign it," he whispered. "Just let her go and I'll sign it." Peter Fungabera gave an order in Shona, and immediately they released Sally Ann. The trooper stood back, and the sergeant helped her to her feet. Politely, he handed her back her shorts, and she hopped on one foot, sobbing softly and trembling as she pulled them on. Then she rushed to Craig and threw both arms about him. She could not speak, but she choked and gulped down her tears. Her body shook wildly, and Craig held her close and made incoherent soothing noises to her.
"The sooner you sign, the sooner you can go."
Craig went to the table, still holding Sally Ann in the curve of his left arm. Captain and Bebe handed him a pen and he initialed the two top sheets of the confession and signed the last one in full. Both Captain Mbebe and Peter Funkelbearer witnessed his signature. And then Peter said, "One last formality. I want both you and Miss J to be examined by the regimental doctor for any signs of ill-treatment or undue coercion."
"God damn you, hasn't she had enough?"
"Humour me, please, my dear fellow." The doctor must have been waiting in one of the trucks outside. He was a small, dapper shoner, and his manner was brisk and businesslike. "You may examine the woman in the bedroom, Doctor. In particular, please satisfy yourself that she has not been forcibly penetrated," Peter Funkelbearer instructed him. And then, as they left the dining room, he turned to Craig. "In the meantime, you may open the safe in your office and take out your passport and whatever other documents you may need for the journey." Two troopers escorted Craig to his office at the far end of the veranda and waited while he struck the combination of the safe. He took out his passport, the wallet containing his credit cards and World Bank badge, three folders of American Express traveler's checks, and the bundle of manuscript for the new novel. He stuffed them into a British Airways flight bag and went back to the dining room. Sally Ann and the doctor came back from the bedroom. She had changed into a blue cashmere jersey, shirt and jeans, and she had controlled her hysteria to an occasional gulping sob, though she was still shivering in little convulsive fits. She dragged her camera bag and under one arm carried the art folder of photographs and text for their book. "Your turn," Peter Funkelbearer invited Craig to follow the doctor, and when he returned, Sally Ann was seated in the back seat of a Land Rover parked in front of the veranda. Captain Mbebe was beside her, and there were two armed troopers in the back of the vehicle. The seat beside the driver was empty for Craig. Peter Funkelbearer was waiting on the veranda. "Goodbye, Craig," he said, and Craig stared at him, trying to project the full venom he felt for him. "You didn't really believe that I would allow you to rebuild your family's empire, did you?" Peter asked without rancor. "We fought too hard to destroy that world." As the Land Rover drove down the hills in the night, Craig turned and looked back. Peter Funkelbearer still stood on the lighted veranda, and somehow his tall figure was transformed. He looked as though he belonged there, like a conqueror who has taken possession, like the patron of the grand estate. Craig watched him until the trees hid him, and only then did the leaven of his true hatred begin to rise within him. The headlights of the Land Rover swung across the signboard. "Kingslyn Afrikander Stud, proprietor, Craig Mellow." It seemed to mock him. Then they were past it and rattling across the steel cattle grid. They left the soil of Kingslyn and Craig's dreams behind them and swung westwards. The lug tires began their monotonous hum as they hit the black top of the main road, and still nobody in the Land Rover spoke. Captain and Bebe opened the map case that he was holding on his knees and took out a bottle of the fiery, locally made cane spirits. He passed the bottle over the front seat to Craig. Craig waved it brusquely aside, but Timon and Bebe insisted, and Craig took it with ill grace. He unscrewed the cap and swallowed a mouthful, then exhaled the fumes noisily. It brought tears to his eyes, but immediately the fireball in his belly spread out through his blood, giving him comfort. He took another swig and passed the bottle back to Sally Ann. She shook her head. "Drink it," Craig ordered, and meekly she obeyed. She had stopped weeping, but the fits of shivering still persisted. The spirits made her cough and choke, but she got them down, and they steadied her. "Thank you," she handed the bottle back to Timon and Bebe, and the politeness from a woman who had been so recently degraded and humiliated was embarrassing to all of them.